The 10K Collective, our sister podcast, is the world's newest e-commerce podcast, now live on Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher. It's for 6, 7, and 8-figure Amazon and e-commerce sellers. It's highly actionable, but it's focused on how to scale your business for sale or long-term profit, not short-term hacks. We have deep talks with real e-commerce sellers and experts in industries like sourcing, team building, and managing cash. Search your podcast app for 10K Collective or go to 10kcollective.com for show notes or to listen online. That's 10K for kilo, collective.com, 10kcollective.com.
I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Hey there, welcome to Amazing FBA. This is your host, Michael Veazey. Today, I want to talk about the open secret to product research, creating a unique product, in other words, for dependable sales and solid profits, or how to do that. The first thing to say is a lot of people, particularly this is aimed more towards people who are newish to the space, but also those who've been in it for a while and maybe struggling a little bit. And I want to talk to you a couple of things that have come up recently in conjunction with, first of all, a couple of people who I think are doing the right things who are fairly new to the game, and a couple of people I've spoken to, one of whom is an advanced seller who is reinforcing this approach, and an expert who we've had on the 10K Collective podcast, our sister podcast, which is geared to advanced sellers. But I think if you start off as a new seller, but thinking in an advanced way, that's also useful as well if you're really serious about building a real business. So the first thing to say, product research is not the same as market research. Okay, being product-centered and focusing on the numbers using tools like, for example, Jungle Scout Helium 10 on Amazon is what everyone does. And the trouble we have on Amazon is hyper competition, which means we have to differentiate. It's not a question of it would be nice, it would be a luxury, you can get to that at some point. We've got to do it now. It's not 2013. You can't just put any old rubbish up on Amazon and private label it and get sales and get profit. You may get sales if you push the price ridiculously low and you spend a lot of money on advertising. Guess what? That is not profitable. That's not much point. Amazon gains from that. The consumers gain, but we lose as the seller. So that is not a game you want to play. Instead, I would argue, as Andre Chaperon, the email marketing guru, puts it, zig when they zag. So you need to have a different business model to create a different product. Or to put it another way, I think you have to have a differentiated business model to create a differentiated product. If you're purely doing the research like everyone else, then you're going to lose. So I think you need to do it not like everyone else. If everyone else starts on Amazon, get off Amazon. If other people are starting with numbers, then start with people. If people are using keywords as a start, then use people as a start. And what do I mean by that? Well, do I mean that we should junk, you know, things like Jungle Scout and Helium 10? Absolutely not. I think they very much have their place. I don't think it should be at the start of your research journey. Here's a simple phrase lately quoted by Vern Harnish of the wonderful book Scaling Up. And if you're listening to this and you're an advanced seller, you're not really in the right place. You need to get over to our sister podcast, 10K Collective. Just look for that on any Apple or any kind of podcast app, really. We're on most of them, 10K for kilo, collective, collective, collective. But I've been reading a wonderful book called Scaling Up, which at some point I'm going to do a podcast on, probably on the 10K Collective podcast, because it's for hyper growth, you know, highly scaling businesses rather than beginning businesses or startups. But he says, grow where you're planted. So I think you should really start with jobs, hobbies you've had, or activities of spouses or friends and family, whatever it may be. I had some great examples of that recent with some new clients who I think are off to a really, really great start. One is doing something in the sort of space where he renovates properties because he rents them out as a business activity, even though it's not his day job. And he's talking to a lot of people who do that kind of work for him and looking at the particular problems they have and developing a specific product to solve a particular problem which other products don't seem to solve. right? It's called a gap in the market. And it started with him having conversations with real people. Now, we did some analysis online using Jungle Scout and Helium 10, Helium 10 more for the sort of keyword search volumes and things like that. Any of the standard tools will do the job. I mean, those two are very good. I've used both of them. Viral Launch is also excellent, which I also use. And we hope to be interviewing somebody from Viral Launch soon. But the tools, broadly speaking, I'm not saying they're all exactly equal. I don't think they are, but they do a similar job. But he didn't start with the tools. He started with the idea. Then we went through the tools to ascertain, is there a good demand? What's the competition like? Is it beatable? And the numbers were important, but one of the most important numbers we looked at is the fact that there is a competitor doing, I don't know, about £25,000-£35,000, so about $40,000 or something per month on Amazon, which is quite strong proof of demand. But it's got a 2.5 star rating. So people hate it. It doesn't do the job. So what he wants to do is simply produce a product that does do that job, right? So quite simple concept. And it didn't require a lot of numbers to come to the idea that this is a good plan, because it's a bit of an open goal. Somebody else I was speaking to today at the beginning of our conversation is a mentoring call with a new client who has not sold on Amazon before, has something of a business background. He's got a partner, life partner, who has a very, very passionate hobby and in sport. I'm not going to reveal any more about that. But there are people in the sports world who, you know, already hobbies for that matter, who get very, very passionate and nerdy about it. And within that world, there are a bunch of people who spend a lot of money on products of certain kinds to do particular jobs and to solve particular pains. And outside of that world, none of us, myself included, before this conversation, know that exists. That is a fantastic place to start. And it has so many advantages. First of all, you're going to care more about it. As Seth Godin says about starting business, you've got to care enough to get hit. And he was talking about what his lessons were from having to play ice hockey as a kid. Now, Seth Godin is anyone who's seen him talk is quite sort of nerdy character. He's not a big beefy guy who's going to be well built for ice hockey, I would guess. So that's one of the bits of wisdom that I've taken from him. I think it's true. You've got to care enough so that when it takes months longer to develop a product than you wanted, when your Chinese supplier, it shuts down over Chinese New Year and you weren't expecting that. So by the way, February is not a good time to order from China, just so you know. When the US Customs decides to hold your products for 2 weeks, or the UK Customs, I've had both. When Amazon decides to put your products in quotes hazmat for a week because they think it's hazardous, even though it isn't, you know, most of these things can be sorted out over time. But if you don't have enough, if you don't care enough about the kind of person you're serving and the product you're developing for them, you won't care enough to stick around through those little peaks and troughs, which in the broader scheme of things aren't that important, but seem important at the time, right? So that's really critical, caring about your products without overcommitting to something without checking that it's actually viable. That's not what I'm saying, but you should start with something you care about, right? This is about where you start. This isn't about having no process to filter ideas, right? We'll talk about that in a sec. But the second head start you've got is you've already got knowledge. If your partner's been obsessively doing a particular sport or activity for the last 10 years, you probably can't avoid being bored senseless by him or her. So you know about it, right? You understand the customer as well, another major advantage, which is critical. And you can literally talk to your future customer because they are in your house. If it's your spouse or if it's somebody doing up your house and you go down there and talk to the builders or the carpenters or whoever it is, if they're working on your property, you know, if it's somebody in your family, if it's a colleague who you're close to, you literally see them every week or every day or whatever it is. You can literally talk to them about your products. You can give them products and say, and you're not trying to sell them anything. I mean, I want to be very clear. Just say, try this thing out. I'm considering selling something like this. What do you think? Get honest answer. So I think the simple thing is start with your customer. So even if it's not something you personally know about, do not start with a product and search for a customer. That is backwards. First, I think you've got to decide on your ideal customer and talk to them and find their pains and pick a pain. So it's what I call the PAP, the person and the pain, which is the first real starting point. Apart from a bit of quick and dirty retail arbitrage and setting up your business as a whole, that is the starting point of the PLP, the private label process that I teach. And that's been out for about a year now. So it's needing a bit of renewal. So I'm going to be doing an offer soon to people for getting it much, much cheaper than usual, because then I'm going to go through and myself and my team, we're going to go through and renew the videos and freshen it, get it up to date. But this has not changed. This is, if anything, even more important than ever. So the person in pain is the starting point. And I think instead of starting with a product and looking for a customer, start on with your customer in the pain and then develop a product with and for your customer. Another example of this, a much more advanced person that I've got in one of the masterminds, has been working to develop a supplement for a particular activity. I'm not going to reveal any more of that, of course, out of respect for him. But they are working with their customers. They're iterating multiple versions of this product. And they've got to about, whatever, three or four versions now. And only now are they considering going into a launch on Amazon, because they've really got the feedback from the customers. Yes, this works fantastically well and is pleasant to use. So that's another hint that I'm definitely, you know, not talking on my own. It's not just my idea. It is, in fact, what the smartest people are doing. So that implies at some point, custom manufacturing. You don't have to start with this. I think you can private label to start with these days still. But I think the time when you want to move into making a genuinely unique product that is your formulation, if it's a supplement, or your design, if it's a hard product, that time needs to become, you know, earlier in the process now, because it is getting more competitive. But the people who are established on Amazon, and I'm talking about people who got established in the last 2-3 years, not decades ago, not years ago. There are two members of the 10K Collective Mastermind who started less than or fewer than 3 years ago, and who've already hit $1 million a month, a year run rate, which is an amazing achievement. I'm not saying this is typical. I'm not saying you should expect this as a typical result. I'm not saying that at all. Most people typically will do nothing. They will listen to a podcast, think, oh, that sounds like a waste of time, or possibly, oh, wow, that sounds really good. And then of that percentage of people, maybe that's like 30% of people, maybe a few will listen to a lot more podcasts, and maybe a small percentage of those will open an Amazon account, and maybe, you know, 2-3% of those will actually sell something. So I am not promising future riches. I'm pointing out what the great people do right and offering it to you as a model to copy, no more, no less. So custom manufacturing is a really critical thing that you need to be training yourself in more. One of the customers I mentioned who's just starting out on his Amazon journey, we're already really led by him, not by me, getting into the realms of creating a custom product. He's working with a custom a product designer, which is very, very exciting. And I'm going to try and solve this problem that he spotted, that people want this type of product, but the existing one just simply does not work, and try and create a design that does work. Much more creative and exciting process, I think, than just picking a product off the shelf and private labeling. Obviously takes longer, a bit more money, is a bit more risk, but you don't have to go plunging straight into, you know, selling straight away with a custom product. You could always test it out with more generic type products, or if it's beat, you can run off a few prototypes in the UK or wherever you are based in the USA and sell those. And there's a few ways of de-risking it and testing the market before you launch into full-scale production. But nevertheless, custom manufacturing, I think, is the way to go. So if you are serious, if you're already launched, especially, you should get yourself over to the 10K Collective podcast and listen to that episode with Ryan Schaffer of XK Manufacturing, because he's been doing this stuff for 18 years. He's American, based out in China, so a unique perspective. And the last thing to say is, don't start selling to profit. Yes, you should. In between, I just want to quickly mention, am I saying just have a bright idea and then go and get it manufactured? No, I am not saying that, right? Of course, you should run the marketing numbers first, right? Before ordering, right? So you should definitely use tools like Jungle Scout, Helium 10, Viral Launch, whatever. There's so many, you know, the Zon Blast, Zon Pages, Zon something. There's Zon something out there. There are so many, right? And I'm an affiliate for some, and I've spoken to others. A lot of them do a similar job, and I'm not saying they're all equal. We will at some point do a review of those. That's really overdue, actually. But what I would say is this: don't get obsessed with starting with analysis. Start with an idea, start with people, PAP, person on the problem, and then develop the ideas. PIC is what I call it, pick, product idea creation. And only when you've got some good, solid ideas and people in mind should you then do what I call a PIE, product idea elimination, and see, you know, what's out there. Is a demand, number one, and number two, can you get a piece of the pie, hence my abbreviation. That's my little memorable thing there. So yes, you should run the numbers, but then instead of going, great, that's it, now I'm going to go off and get rich and make profit. Well, hold hard. First of all, don't start selling to profit. Develop things to learn first. The first thing is to iterate your product, or at least find other ones until it's good enough for a private customer. Private customer meaning the person you know personally. So if you're private labeling, you order a ton of samples from China, for example, and you try them out yourself. And if they look completely rubbish, you just throw them away. Do not order them. It doesn't matter what price they are. So that means get the samples early. Do not negotiate on price for ages before you get a sample. That's backwards. Get the sample. If it's rubbish, you don't want it at any price. So first thing, get the sample early. Second thing is then you need to think about getting somebody else to test it who really is your end customer. And you can go through quite a lot of different products that way, and that's fine. So, you know, order 10 different products, throw three away because they're rubbish, get the best three that are left and give them to your friends and say, right, test them out, give me feedback. And then you can iterate that up to a slightly broader level if you've got a bigger set of stuff. I had a client for a while who ran a gym, for example. Now, he's perfectly placed to go to his guys there in gym class and say, here's some equipment, test it out for me, give me your feedback. You know, as long as he makes it clear that, you know, make sure it's safe. Don't give anyone anything unsafe. Yeah, and the second thing is to do the same with a sort of rollout, sort of pilot project, you know, a small amount of stuff. If you're rolling out things geographically, you start with a pilot project. So if you have 30 offices, you try your new software or your new product or your new printer in just one of those offices. On Amazon, the equivalent is to put out maybe 10 or 20 units of a particular product and see if there's any kind of response. And, you know, only then are you aiming to start to roll out on a big scale and go for profit. So that is the way to go. So doing both is ideal, by the way. And if you can make a profit whilst researching, that's perfect, you know, profit plus learning, if you like. But that, I would say, that's a bonus. And the final thing to say, the thing about don't obsess about profits, the only way to fail in business really is to run out of money. And I don't know who said that, probably everybody who's wise ever. Cash flow trumps profit. Okay, so don't worry about profit initially, but think about minimizing risk to your cash pile and make sure you can afford the downside if it happens. So rather than thinking, oh, but if I put this product out into the marketplace as a test and I spend $500 on that test, I'm going to lose that $500. Well, that's one way of looking at it. But another way is to say, well, look, I've got $10,000 cash pile to put towards this product kind of category over the next 12 months with my proto, my new or my potential Amazon business or, you know, or new product line, depending on where you're at. So in which case, then what matters is to minimize the downside risk to your capital. So if you spend $500 on one, two, three products, you spent $1,500 as a whole, and only one of them takes off, that's fine because you just plenty of money left in the kitty to go and, you know, then scale up on the working product. If you put all your money into one product on the hope or expectation of profits and it doesn't pan out, guess what? If you're out of money, you're out of business. So again, the mentality needs to be about iterating and learning from experience, ultimately learning from the market, which, to put in real terms, is real people buying your product or not buying your products, liking your products or disliking your products. In other words, real people trying to use your product or trying to look for a solution and either thinking, yes, I believe you, that's called a sale, or no, I don't believe you, that's called they looked but they didn't buy, or I believed you, I bought it, and then I was disappointed, that's called breaking your promises. And therefore, you need to either change the promises you're making or you need to change the product. So quick summary of quite a few thoughts. I hope this is useful. I think it's a summary of quite a few things that have been crystallizing recently for me. Please go listen to the 10K Collective podcast on custom manufacturing because that is directly relevant to this entire process, and keep listening to the Amazing FBA podcast if you're new. But if you are a more advanced seller, you'll probably find the 10K Collective podcast is going to be more to your liking. It's geared to 6, 7, and 8-figure sellers on Amazon. Thanks so much for listening. Great to speak to you. Exciting topic. I love this stuff because it's actually learnings from real life. This is not theory. It's real life learnings from real people who are making money in some cases on track to making money, and or some cases they're experts assisting sellers to make real money. And it's real actionable stuff. You can trust me on this because it's actually real. Trust me on this, I'm an Amazon seller. And it's an Amazon podcast. It must all be true. I mean, in the end, you've got to run this stuff past the filter of common sense. But I think you'll find it very, very hard to fault this. If you think about it, it's common sense. And actually, if you look at what real people do, serious companies, people who do really, really well, this is what they do. Talk to the customer. Who knew? What a crazy idea. Thanks very much for listening. Speak to you in the next show. Hey there, this is Michael and saying thank you for listening to the Amazing FBA episode you just listened to. Just want to mention that I mentioned at the top of the show our sister podcast, the 10K Collective e-commerce podcast, which is for 6, 7, and 8-figure sellers on Amazon. Specifically, that's who we're geared to. I'm sure that people doing bigger numbers will still have a lot of things to learn from it. And people doing smaller numbers, sure, but it's not going to be immediately actionable for you. So if that is you, keep listening to the Amazing FBA podcast. But if you're 6, 7, or 8 figures on Amazon or e-commerce, I really think you should check it out. So I just want to give you a flavor of what's coming up, or rather just a bit of a list not deeply exciting as podcasts go, but I just wanted to, if you're just checking it out, know whether it's for you and what sort of topics we cover. Here's what's coming up. So first of all, an interview with our own Ashley Pierce from the 10K Collective Mastermind, who is talking about his last year in e-commerce, where he went from $750,000 in 2018 in turnover to a run rate this year of $1.25 million. So that's from scratch in 3 years. Super smart man, and he had a lot of the right skills going in. And let's be clear about that. But he didn't have tons of capital, just a conventional amount. So I still think that's an incredible result. And also, he's a really nice guy and a very, very clear-minded and feet-on-the-ground business thinker. So there's so much value. If nothing else, check that out. Really cannot urge you enough. I mean, these guys that have been in the Mastermind for nearly 2 years now have just honed their game to the nth degree. I've never heard quality discussion like I hear in there. And I don't say that because it's about me. It's not about me. I'm just privileged to work with some super smart and great people. So do check it out. Other things coming up then, lots and lots of industry expert interviews. Here's a flavour. And honestly, this is about half the list of people who've agreed to come on for an interview. So several of these are already recorded. So with Ryan Shaffett from Xcube Manufacturing, we are going to be talking about custom manufacturing in China. He's been out there about 18 years. And custom manufacturing, I can't emphasise enough how much that is the future. If you're still just purely private labelling stuff, it's going to get harder and harder to make a profit with that business model. I mean, I think it's got a year or two left in it, but sooner or later you need to get onto custom manufacturing. So this is a hyper critical skill set that you should be learning, I believe, to future proof your business. Second is funding, which is another massive topic, how to fund growth, because any scaling business, as Vern Harnish says, growth sucks cash. This is the law of gravity of scaling. Therefore, we've got to look into raising capital, and one way is debt. And Bruce Mack is going to talk to us about that. Aaron O'Sullivan is coming on from Systems Culture Impact to talk about outsourcing and company culture. And again, if you're scaling up a business, you're going to have a very painful time if you keep trying to do it yourself, even if you've hit, say, $1 million a year equivalent, which I know some people have without a VA. Guess what? You're not going to get to 2 million without a VA or basically a proper team on board. So that's something that's definitely a big barrier to entry. And also, to put it the other, on its head, something that will add to your comfort and enjoyment of your business if you go with it. So that's a few things that we got in depth, just in a bit more superficial detail. Chris Shipfling of Providium with Jason Somerville is going to be talking about selling your FBA business, and they have a private equity take on that from the Wall Street side. So really fascinating angle on that. FBA reimbursements with Ben Chambers. Amazon often owes about $50,000 to $100,000 for any serious seller at some points in the year. How do you get your hands on that? It's just a fantastic source of cash, apart from anything else. So Amazon's got your cash. If you can get it out of the system, guess what? That's fantastically healthy for your business. Ash Munger's talking about quality control from China. He's got an incredibly detailed system for doing that. He's been out in China running IMEX sourcing for 9 years now, so seriously knows his business backwards and sideways and in detail. Connor Gillivan's going to talk about the quick outsourcing system that FreeUp represents and how to outsource quickly and easily. Pauline Masson came on this morning. We talked about pricing, which is a very underrated and very important thing for driving profits. Will Churnland's coming back on, and we're going to talk about evaluating the competition from a real sort of standpoint of somebody who's not just looking at the numbers, although Will is super smart with numbers, but from the point of view of the overall competitive landscape. Really, as ever, Will's a brilliant Amazon thinker, always worth hearing. Kevin King's coming back on. Not even sure what we're going to be talking about yet with Kevin, but you know what, he's always a super smart guy when it comes to the marketing side, so I'm sure we have lots to learn from him. What else we got coming up? Amazon account suspension with Joshua Price, launching to overseas markets with John Kant, PPC advertising and profit margins with Mike Zagare of PPC Entourage. What else? Chris Rawlings is coming back from Judo Launch. Presumably we'll be talking about launch. Alex Oxford is coming on to talk about sales tax. He is super smart at explaining this stuff in very simple terms, but yet dealing with all the details as well. Alex is absolutely a critical person to listen to if you sell in the USA.
Kostas Anastasiadis is coming back to talk about short-term funding. Brad Moss is coming back, who used to run Seller Central, so he's a super sharp guy as well. China Sourcing with Manuel Bekvar. Law for Amazon Sellers with Paul Ruffelson. Augustus Kligas is coming back on to talk about various different topics. John Cavendish talk about translations. Paul Harvey to talk about chatbots. Brian Johnson talk about PPC. Greg Mercer to talk about product research. Nadine Eich to talk about Germany and customer service in Germany. And probably going to get my old accountant Penny Lowe back to talk about bookkeeping basics. Whew. We have, as you can tell, an incredible amount of really practical, useful content coming up, a lot of which is already recorded and is definitely coming out over the next few weeks. So get yourself over there, folks. It's just a place you need to be. This is not just a bunch of let's fill the airways with the latest kind of hack that's going to die in 2 months. I'm taking care to really focus on content that is as evergreen as possible. Why? Because then you listen once and implement over multiple years or at least months, and then you get the payoff over time, so you get better return on your listening time, if you like. And I think that's a really important metric. Return on listening for me is something I aim to give you in spades. So get yourself over there. 10K Collective is the thing you need to look for. 10K Collective e-commerce podcast, to give it the full title. You can look on iTunes, aka Apple Podcasts apps, or Stitcher. We should be on Spotify any minute now, and we're just waiting to get ourselves on Google Play and Google Podcasts. So it will be more and more available. If you can't find it on your listening device, your preferred device, then just go to the website and you can listen directly there. 10kcollective.com. That's 10k, 10k for kilo. Collective is collective.com. That's 10kcollective.com. Thanks so much for listening to such a very, very lengthy post-roll pitch, if you like. I'm not actually selling anything, so it's not a pitch in any strict sense. It's free and it always will be. Of course, we will mention paid services from time to time, but I believe in giving like 95%, 99% value and a little pitch at the end. So it's not going to be a pitch fest. We are just aiming to build massive goodwill and getting ourselves out there and known. And of course, we hope to attract some wonderful people to our masterminds, and if people can use the services that some of our experts provide, so much the better. But really, that's our main thrust, is to get ourselves out there and build goodwill. So you know more than you're ever going to need to know in life about this podcast. Get yourself over there and listen. Stop listening to Amazing FBA. What are you still doing here? I'm going to go and have a cup of tea. I suggest you go and do the same, and I'll speak to you in the next show.